I just want to welcome everyone who's joined us today through media and through television. Thanks so much for being with us. We're in a series right now entitled God Revealed. And we're going to talk for a few minutes about one of the ways that God reveals himself is through his forgiveness. That if you get to know God and you'll see it in the life of Christ, you'll see that God will forgive. That's what we're going to talk about. Thanks so much for joining us. Church, can we welcome all those who have joined us and just be a part? Thanks a lot. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, that every heart and all the ears and all the people, Lord, that are hearing your word, Lord, that each of us would be able to grow. Each of us would hear your words. I pray for every single person today, God, that your word would be alive. It would be alive. And it would change us. That the word of God can transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as you read the Bible, one of the things you'll realize, and I discover this more and more, is that the Bible is full of metaphors and similes. Over and over again, you will see in Scripture where God teaches us about life through using pictures or parables. One of the great ways that Jesus taught, when he would gather around with people, he would use stories and he would compare. And he would use a parable that would say something about this, but there was something else that he was wanting to say about this. You see this in as God speaks to us all throughout the word about belief, about life. There's these figure of speeches that gives a likeness that says, here's this, but this is really like this. Here's this small thing. Look at this small thing. But this small thing says a big thing about life. It's just not this. There's something here. Jesus did this even when he described what he came to do. He said, I am the door. Doesn't mean that he's made out of wood or he has a doorknob. It doesn't mean that. He's saying that I am the door. He says, understand this and then you'll understand this. It's all over Scripture. In Job, Job says that our life is like a shadow or a vapor. So it doesn't mean that, you know, that we're not like Star Trek and we're getting vaporized. He's not saying that. What he said is life is like a vapor. So it describes this, gives a bigger picture, says this in Isaiah, that all of us are like sheep who go astray. So over and over again, you see this in Scripture. One of my all-time favorites is found in Jeremiah chapter 18. I want you to turn there. And I want to read this because I think it has an amazing message of God revealed to us through the area of God forgives. God forgives. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying this, arise, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my word. So God says to Jeremiah, go to the potter's house. But when you get to the potter's house, it's not about pottery. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. So keep your head on swivel. I'm going to say something to you. You're going to be looking at one thing, but it's going to say something to you about something that's bigger. He says, I want you to go to the potter's house. You're going to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. And there he was making something at the wheel. It was a vessel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Everybody say the word marred. It was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. He made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me. So Jeremiah saw this. Watched it take place, and then God spoke to his heart and said, O house of Israel, my people, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, here's the message, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I want to teach for a few minutes on God forgives. God forgives. Delin and I, you know, Delin decorates our house. I just move things around. Recently, we got these candles, ceramic candlestick, candelabra, statue-ish, they're kind of tall. And she loves this word, they're ornate. Kind of ceramic-y, ornate-y. And so we got these candlesticks she brought home. She was real excited about them. And we brought them into the house and I placed them and she watched about 18 different places. And finally we placed them in their resting and it was just incredible. And we left them there. And I remember a couple of days, I looked at them and thought, now they're kind of in the line of traffic, but we're okay with that. I mean, we're going to work through it. But here's what we discovered about these beautiful ceramic ornate-y things. I found this out recently, that those candlesticks, as beautiful as they are, they're a little sensitive. They're very easily offended. Matter of fact, I found out that they're fragile. They have a fragile spot. Because one day, Dylan and I were home, and Dylan did we were just going over some past patterns, and he happened to do a post and called a pass, and one of those candelabra ornate things happened to be there. It looked like a cornerback to me, and he took it out. How many knows if you're catching a pass and there's a fender, you got to bring the wood. You got to lower the thunder. Can I have an amen from all the guys? All the guys are like, great move. All the girls are like, oh, ornate. But here's what happened. It didn't go that bad. So we kind of glued it, kind of taped it. We tried to use a little clear duct tape, but it just didn't work. So we got it back to, form. Well, about a couple months later, Dino Sr. Was rolling through the house at night and I was moving kind of quick. And I'm so light on my feet and I'm kind of a medium. And so I'm real petite and I can really move real good. How many knows that's not the truth? I'm a double X coming through the living room, baby. So I'm coming through the living room. I wiped out both of them. Shattered. Went everywhere. No hope for recreation. None at all. Threw it away. Do you remember the old nursery rhyme? Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horse and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. Couldn't put Humpty together again. Humpty Dumpty was a good guy. I'm sure everybody liked him, but Humpty was a little fragile. And no matter what, I think about the post-Humpty fall meeting, kind of when it was discovered and news went out and everybody knew that Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall and the king's men are there and they even brought out the horses and we can't get this thing back together again. And everyone shows up and everyone's meeting and everyone there's trying to fix it out and they're debating and they've got plans and everyone's got an idea. They're spending finances. Everyone's involved. People have started a Humpty Dumpty, relief fund and there's a whole tribute and now there's a whole symposium and they're lamenting. But guess what? At the end of the day, they are incapable of putting the fragments back together again. Let me just say this, church. That is us. That is all of us. That is every single one of us. You know what? You and I can't fix ourselves. We cannot put our life back together again because Jeremiah says that there's a marring. There's something all of us have. We've been marred. As a toaster cannot fix itself, neither can we fix ourselves. When life tumbles, what do you do? See, church, God's message in Jeremiah century ago, many, many centuries ago, is God's message for us today. I love those few verses. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord said, this is what it means. O house of Israel, my family, my children, can I not do with you as this potter? Look at it. As the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. What a picture of God's reforming, recreation, and redemptive hope that only He can offer you and I today. God formed us out of dirt, Genesis says. And then it says sin, S-I-N, three-letter word, shows up. And sin messes, it mars us. And God could have left us there, a mess. That's not the heart of God. He says, I will recreate, I will reform, I will redeem man. And it will be me. I will initiate it, God says. And you know how He initiated it? He sent His Son. And through His Son, you and I can find the solution to what mars us all. It's through God's forgiveness. Now let me just unpack God's forgiveness. I want to talk for a few minutes about God's forgiveness. Just kind of teach. Now can I tell you this? It's going to get tight before it gets right. Turn to your neighbor and say, you can handle it. Just nudge your other neighbor and say, I'm not sure about you. A little worried about you. So it's going to get a little tighter before it gets righter. Just give you a heads up. Let's unpack God's forgiveness. Basic God's forgiveness that you and I need in our life. Here's the first fact about God's forgiveness. We are all marred. All of us. The word marred means decaying, loss, spoiling, ruining, punish, perishing. Here's what Romans says about it. The book of Romans is such an incredible masterpiece of God's grace for the marring problem, the sin problem. This is what it says in Romans chapter 3. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. It is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. Their tongues, they practice deceit. The poison is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known. There is no fear before their eyes. Verse 23. For all means all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible teaches clear and plain that we all have sinned. In just plain old terms, we're just all sinners. We're sinners. Just sinners at our best. You know what I found out? I found out the quicker we can come to that conclusion, the better off we are. Quicker we can get to that, the more hope can be offered to you and I in our life. See, 1 John 1:8 says this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's a heavy scripture. If we just say, well, there ain't no sin in my life, I'm perfect. I'm perfect. I've never done anything wrong. The Bible says you're deceiving yourself. Do you know what? If we open the door to deception and it gets in our life, guess what? It is trouble with a capital T. It's like trying to have a relationship with someone who wronged you and they will not admit to the wrong. And it's hard to kind of keep chugging along when they won't admit to wrong. It's hard to just, okay, this is great. I mean, that's almost impossible. But when you admit to wrong and you, hey, I'm sorry, I apologize, my bad. I didn't mean that, I was wrong. I mean, it's so quicker to find healing and restoration and be like, the relationship can move forward when there's an acknowledgement of a wrong. Is anybody hearing me? If you think about that, it just kind of works that way. We are better off when we just go ahead and admit, I believe it, and I'm in. I'm all in to what God has said, that all have sinned. The first fact about God's forgiveness is we've all sinned. Here's the second fact about God's forgiveness is there is a penalty for sin. It's twofold. First one is this, separation from God. Sin separates. This is how it works. Sin will separate you from God. Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. As plain as it gets, sin separates. The other thing the Bible says about the penalty for sin is that sin brings death. Romans 6:23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. It's just the truth. It's harsh, but it's true. Sin calls for judgment. That's just how it is. At the end of the day, we're guilty. All have sinned, and there's a penalty for sin, and we are guilty. It's okay, Dina. Well, I'm glad I came to church today. It's amazing. I'm really going to go after it today. I've discovered a lot. You've kind of, you know, if we just shut church down right now, if we just put on pause, said, okay, God bless. Have a great one. If we just stop church right now, just shut it down, go home. You would say, how was, you know, when your neighbor stopped you, or you were at the store, or you, somebody visited you on Monday. How was church? You say, well, the pastor left me hopeless and guilty, and I'm under penalty, and I'm guilty as sin, and I'm a shapeless mess. And you know what? If we left it there, we would be. Because without God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ, we are guilty, we are shapeless, and we are a mess without it. Leads me to my final thought, my final fact. It's the best thing I can say. It's the core of the gospel. It's the priority of heaven. It's the reason for Jesus. God forgives sin. All have sinned. There's a penalty for sin. As we're getting as basic as we get, basic Bible teaching. The third thought is this: God forgives sin. I love this scripture in Galatians chapter 1. Paul is going to talk to some people who have had up and down life. They were good one day, bad the next day. They had a really great week, then they have a bad week. They were struck. It was almost like they were teetering between two. There was flesh going on, craziness, lying, stealing, cheating, and then they had some love, some faith, some hope, but then there was and they were caught between like AC/DC and like a choir. Follow me? They couldn't figure out which one they were going to do, and so all of a sudden they came to this awareness that this can't be. We can't live this way. We're trying to be man pleasers and we're trying to be God pleasers. We're kind of going back and forth, back and forth. And God says, can't work that way. Either you're a man pleaser and you live with it, or you become a God pleaser, but you can't do both. And so Paul writes him a letter and says, in light of that, he tells him some things. And I love how he starts it off, because he says, just in the first few verses, we're going to settle how this all works. Look what he says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, verse 3. Grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us, rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of God the Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. He says, the only way we're going to move through this, the only way that there's hope, is that God the Father has sent Jesus, and through Jesus, he has rescued us through the forgiveness of sins, and it will last if you'll trust him. Can I have a good amen? He just says, that's the hope. That's the starting point of life, is in the forgiveness that God offers through Jesus Christ. Sin required judgment. The cross was where the judgment was settled. And because of Jesus, sin is forgiven. Jesus completed the picture, the metaphor that Jeremiah gives us. There's a remaking of our life. There's a redeeming of our life that's found in Jesus Christ. And it's the story of this book. It's all over this book. God was always trying to offer forgiveness. But in Christ, it was complete. It was God trying to give Moses a new beginning after he committed murder. I mean, think about it. God offered Abraham a new beginning after he lied. He offered David a new beginning after he had committed adultery. He offered Jonah a new beginning after he had run away. He even offered Peter a new beginning even after he denied. Now look up here. Here's the good news. He can do the same for you. He can do the same for you. David, after he found forgiveness from all that crazy sin, David went crazy. Just tranced out. Wasn't even thinking. And after God visited him and forgave him, David says one of the most amazing things about the heart of God. He says this, Psalms 32, verse 5. He says, "Then I acknowledged my sin, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said to you, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." He received the miracle of forgiveness. It changed his life. He acknowledged it. You say, well, how do you receive forgiveness? How does it really happen? Well, the Bible's real clear. We look to Christ. You recognize, number one, that you are a sinner. I've messed the mark. Sometimes it's hard to say. I mean, I don't ever introduce myself. Hey, I'm Dino, the sinner. It's not on a job application. You don't put it on a resume. What are your strengths? Well, I've sinned some. What are your weaknesses? S-I-N. Guilty as S-I-N. Man, you just don't do that. We call it a lot of things. Mistakes, failures, blunders, bloopers. My daddy. Acting like my mama. And we call it things and we dress it in all kinds of things.
And it gets very intellectual and it gets very smart. And we put a lot of things on it and the media just twists it and turns it. And next thing you know, there's no sin. Everybody's okay. Let's just all do a hug.
But the problem is, what do you do with that book? What do you do with the Bible? There is sin. No one wants to acknowledge it. No one wants to recognize it. My friend, we will give an account for sin. You got to recognize it. And then you know what you do? You realize that Jesus died for my sins. Yes, sin requires a payment, but guess what? I ain't got enough to pay for it. But you know what? There was one who did pay the price. On the cross, Jesus Christ. He paid the price. So you recognize I'm a sinner. You realize Christ died for my sin. And then you know what you do? You repent. I'm now going to believe. Look to Christ for new life. I'm not going to depend on my goodness. I'm not going to depend on my works. I'm not going to depend on what I did, what I didn't do. I'm going to depend on what Christ has done for me. And now my life, my future is in him. And I repent from this direction. And now I'm going in a new direction. That's towards him. And then the last thing you do is you receive. You say yes to Jesus. You open up the door to him. With a genuine and an innocent heart. You pray and you ask God to forgive you of your sins. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, you can do it right now. If you're watching, you can do it right now. You can ask Jesus to come into your life. You can ask Him to come into your life and you can ask Him to forgive you of your sins. Maybe you feel marred. Maybe you feel like everybody just ought to change your name and they ought to call you Humpty Dumpty. Because you can't seem to keep it together. It's one shattering after another shattering. Maybe it's shattered due to sin. And maybe there's the secret guilt. Guilt is a heavy load. Oh, my goodness. Guilt will weigh you down. You don't have to bear that. Guilt will eat you up. You don't have to deal with that by yourself. Today you can ask Christ. You can ask Jesus, God, forgive me of my sins. You know what's the best decision you'll ever make? And can I tell you this? It is one decision, one decision, one decision you will never, never, ever, ever, ever regret. You and I can list a few that we regret. You'll never regret that one. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. Never regret it. Amen.